Hey everyone, this is Sydney Shute from Victory Condition Gaming, and you're listening to the Victory Condition Gaming Podcast.
Hey everyone, welcome to Victory Condition Gaming. This is our top 10 list for most anticipated RPGs of 2019. And joining me for this content is the one and only Kent Blue from Roll to Play Podcast.
Hello, Doug. How are you?
I'm great, Kent. Thanks for joining me yet again on another top 10 list.
Well, it is a pleasure to be here.
It is a pleasure having you.
It is a pleasure knowing it's a pleasure to you.
That got really weird.
Now I'm really uncomfortable. But that's okay because I have a third member on this top 10 list with me, and that is the only Alan Barr from Gallant Knight Games.
Hello, I'm Alan Barr, Gallant Knight Games.
Thanks for coming on, Alan.
Always a pleasure.
And I'm doing well, thanks for asking.
I wasn't going to ask.
All right, before we start our top 10 list, there are two things that I would like you to do. One, if you'd like to see more content like this on the show, hit that like button down below, and we'll make sure to do more top 10 lists in the future. The second thing I would like you to do is to hit the subscribe button because we love showcasing all sorts of RPGs and board games on this show. Let's start our top 10 list of most anticipated RPGs of 2019. Kent, take it away. Number 10.
All right. I am grabbing number 10 and I am taking it away to tell you that my number 10
is the same as my number 10. Which I will now talk about because Kent is losing his crap on this channel. It's Judge Dredd from N Publishing.
Yep, it is Judge Dredd from N Publishing. I will say this game, I've always liked Judge Dredd. I will say, Doug, your channel works. It was the game that you ran on this channel with Tim, Alan, Michael, and Josh that sold me on this game completely.
Oh, that was a lot of fun. Totally forgot we played that.
That was a blast. That was a blast. This just barely didn't make my cut. Like, this would have been like my number 11 game.
Yeah, it was. I love Judge Dredd, and I love the team at N Publishing, so I'm excited to get this.
Yeah, it's great. And N Publishing just does a great job with their Kickstarters. They sent out the PDF of this game like as soon as the Kickstarter ended. They just do a phenomenal job. I'm so excited. We should be getting the books here really early on in 2019. So it really should be on my top 10 list. It just missed the cut, though. So my number 10 is number 8 on Alan's list, and we'll talk about it in a little bit. Number 9.
My number 9 is a game from Erica Chappell. It was a Kickstarter in 2018 that is going to be fulfilling in 2019. It is Flying Circus. Which is a game, it's powered by the apocalypse. It is a game of aerial combat. So it's kind of World War One, World War Two, aerial combat, but with a lot of like your pilots downtime and dealing with their life during wartime, flying planes. Erica, she tweets about this a lot on Twitter, kind of the design process that she's making a game that you can, like any airplane you can think of, you can kind of port into this game. It's got a really cool player sheet that kind of replicates airplanes flying instruments. It's really interesting. It's been run on a few podcasts, so you can go out there and listen to it on like Party of One and the One Shot podcast. Really cool game. I know they also have adapted it for some fantasy settings as well. So it's something I'm really interested in. Flying Circus from Erica Chappell.
All right. So my number 9 is the only Gallant Knight Games game on this list. I'm really excited about it. So it's Tiny Cthulhu. So this is one that Gallant Knight fans have been asking about for a really long time. And we've always kind of kept pushing it off. But this year it's coming. It'll be in the later part of the year. But I'm really excited. We have some really cool new Tiny D6 rules that we've never made in any game before around sanity and recovering, and it's got a whole new set of stuff. It's really great. I'm just really excited about it. So yeah, Tiny Cthulhu for me is number 9.
Well, my number 9 is Survive This Vigilante City by Bloat Games. I really dig like this whole like street level Batman animated RPG that Eric at Blow Games is kind of creating. I can't wait to play it. It just looks like a lot of fun. It did really well on Kickstarter for him. I love the fact that you can kind of mold it to play almost any kind of superhero cartoon genre that you want to play. That's like kind of street level. So if I wanted to play like Ninja Turtles, I could play it with this system. And I'm just really excited to see this release from Eric, and I think it's going to do really well for him in 2019. Number 8.
All right, my number 8 is actually going to appear higher on Doug's list, so I will sit back and wait for that.
My number 8 is They Came From Beneath the Sea, which I believe is Doug's number 10.
That was my number 10, yes. From Onyx.
So this is, Onyx Path Publishing. This is a great-looking B-movie style role-playing game, like 1950s B-movie. They have a live-action trailer for their Kickstarter done by some fellow who makes real B-movies nowadays.
Nice.
Like people in rubber suits. It looks gloriously just comedic and funny, but dark at the same time.
Based on this title, I've been waiting for y'all to talk about this, because this title, whenever y'all put it in your list, you know, little behind the screen, we shared our list beforehand for crossover. Whenever y'all shared this, both of you had this on the list, and the title just really grabbed me. You know, They Came From Beneath the Sea is just, it's a title of something that seems like something I want to run. So it sounds really cool, really up my alley, B movie stuff. I have an interest in for absolutely no personal reasons at all.
I really love like the Universal Monsters. I think that this is kind of like an RPG that they kind of ties into that a little bit. The genre of the game just really appeals to me. My number 8, it was also on my most anticipated list for 2018. It's John Carter of Mars for Modiphius.
On my list, higher up.
Is it higher up? All right. Well, we won't talk about it until a little bit later. Number 7.
All right, speaking of not talking about things because they're higher on others' list, my number 7 is going to show up higher on another list.
I think it's on my number 2.
Going to wait a good long time.
All right, Alan, what's your number 7?
Oh, my number 7 is Sword of the Serpentine, or Swords of the Serpentine. Now that I've said it, I don't remember. Coming from Pellegrin Press, this is a sword and sorcery adaptation of the Gumshoe rule set. I love Gumshoe. I love Sword and Sorcery. This is basically everything that I needed to be, and I'm really excited. They previewed the cover recently. It's gorgeous. They always turn in top-notch stuff. There's two lead writers. One of them is Kevin Culp, who worked on Time Watch. And I'm just stoked beyond belief for this game.
My number 7 is Kent's, actually, his number 2 most anticipated game. So we're going to put a thumbtack in that and address it later. Number 6.
All right, my number 6 actually just received playtest documents for it this week.
I just downloaded it as well today.
Yep. It is Reach of Titan from Third Act Publishing by Jim McClure. A thing about me, I love giants of any sort. So if you show me something that is bigger than 50 feet, I'm into it. So this game about taking down giants has me really, really intrigued. The artwork that's coming with it is really cool. So I'm very, very into it.
Yeah, I got an email from DriveThruRPG today, and just the title alone had me click on it. And then once it brought me to the cover image, I'm just like, oh, wow, this looks pretty cool. I want to see what this rule set is like. So I downloaded that playtest PDF, and, I'm really excited to dig into it. They said it's kind of like, if you like Attack on Titan, that anime series, you're going to really kind of like Reach of Titan. It's that type of kind of setting. I have not got a chance to read it. I just downloaded it today, but had I known about this game prior to today, it probably would have made my top 10 list.
Yeah, it just so happens to come at the exact time that I'm starting to watch Attack on Titan as well. So
nice.
So my number 6 is Scion, second edition, again, from Onyx Path Publishing. I love the first edition of Scion. I've played it it's the game I ran the most. If you just sheer amount of sessions, we ran like a 4-year campaign that we played 2 or 3 times a week for a while. I just in the world. I love Scion and this new edition, and it's supposed to print and deliver this year, and I am excited beyond
belief. My number 6 is Kent's number 5. So we're just going to jump to number 5 and talk. I'll talk about it when Kent talks about his number 5. So now we're going to go to number 5.
Well, my number 5 was your number 8. So why don't I go first and then you can talk about yours.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
All right. So my number 5 was John Carter of Mars from Odysseus. And I know Doug had this at number 8. I am just beyond the place that stuff's been coming out. Everything looks great.
It's beautiful. They have the books are like this landscape.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah, it looks beautiful. It's a little bit later than they anticipated putting it out, but I know that they just got physical copies in their warehouse the other day, and it just I can't wait to get the books in and just put them on my shelf and read them. They're going to make a really awesome addition to my RPG collection.
Agreed.
So excited. I was kind of bummed that they didn't come out in 2018 like we anticipated, but it still did not knock my anticipation down all that much for it to come out in 2019.
So Kent, I'll bring in my number 5, which was Doug's number 6.
My number 6.
It is a game by our fellow lister or whatever here, Alan Barr. It is Tiny Supers, a game I'm really excited because I like superheroes. My kids like superheroes. And actually, I've already run, well, not the game officially because it's not out, but I took the Tiny D6 rules and kind of ran my kids, four years old and 7 years old at the time, through just a little session of Tiny Supers with the intention of putting it into a campaign once the book launches. And I mean, the Tiny D6 system is fantastic. My kids grabbed onto it real quick. Even my 4-year old, I mean, he knew real easy how to read the dice that were rolled. I mean, it was a system that he could easily pick up and play, and we had a great time with it. So I can't wait to get the actual book to move us into a campaign. It's going to be the real first long form role-playing game that I would play with my kids.
Nice. Yeah. Everything that I love about Tiny Dungeon, like second edition, it just applies with Tiny Supers. It just takes that, everything I love about Tiny Dungeon and puts it in the Tiny Super genre. And yeah, I'm excited for it. We're going to feature it on the show. We're going to do a monthly campaign in 2019 of Tiny Supers. So that's another reason why I'm very, excited about this game, just because Tiny Dungeon was such a great time last year in 2018, at least for us players, maybe not for the GM, which was Alan. But I'm really looking forward to playing Tiny Supers in 2019, and I think it should be, it should be a big hit for Gallant Knight Games in 2019.
I'm just gonna say right here, I'm gonna be forward about it. Superhero movies and shows always have great crossover events. So if you find yourself sometime next year with a crossover opportunity,
Well, we might have to chat.
I'm here for you.
We've got some surprises for the 2019 Tiny Supers campaign, which we are going to reveal on our January 2nd year in review video, which I think, Kent, you're going to be part of.
Yep.
Anyway, so if you're interested in knowing a little bit more about that campaign, and maybe some crossover events and maybe some other shenanigans that are going to go on, you'll have to tune into our show January 2nd, and we're going to have a lot of surprises, and we're going to talk about 2018 and the surprises for 2019. Wow. My number 5 is The Expanse RPG, which I think is on somebody else's list.
This was my number 8.
The Expanse RPG from Green Ronin Publishing. I was really excited. Of course, they didn't put out a whole lot of information last year, going into last year. So we just knew it was coming. We didn't know when they were planning on publishing it. So I was anticipating it was coming out this year, but it's not going to come out until next year. It uses the modern age system, which is great. I don't play it enough, but it is a great system. Steve Kenson's on this, who is one of my most favorite people in the on the world, and it is probably Alan's favoriteest person. I think, is that a Steve Kenson shrine that you have?
I'm a big fan of Steve Kenson and his work. He's a wonderful across the board.
Yeah, he's just a great guy. So the Green Ronin just does great products. And so this is one made my list last year. It didn't diminish the fact that I'm still anticipating it and looking forward to it coming out in 2019, even though I was hoping that it would come out last year, but it didn't. Number four.
All right, my number four is a game that, as of this video, we just featured on my show, just wrapped it up. It is a game called Vigor by Jake Householder and Teddy Humpert. Man, how do I describe this game? It is wonderful. It has a really cool dice rolling mechanic that I really enjoyed. That kind of your results are based kind of on improv. So it ranges from no and all the way to yes, yes and. And then you have no, but yes, but all that in between. It has so many different settings. You can tell, like on my show, we took kind of a post-apocalyptic type setting. It's really good. I'm not here just to shill my own show, but if you want to hear it in action, I think it's one of the only recorded out there. I know they've played it other places. I don't know if it's been recorded, but you can go hear it on my game. It's a really cool setting, really interesting rules. Just such a good game. Vigor from Jake Householder and Teddy Humpert.
My number four, my number three are tied, so I'll wait till we get to number three.
All right. My number four is a game that just concluded on Kickstarter today as of this recording. It is Mutant Elysium from Free League Publishing. Mutant Elysium, if you watched our top 10 list for 2018 games, you know that I'm a big fan of Mutant Year Zero. Mutant Elysium is another standalone game that you can play in the Mutant Year Zero universe. You play as the humans that have survived an apocalypse. You're not tainted at all. You've been living underground in this enclave, and it's like Judge Dredd. I think Free League kind of describes it as Judge Dredd meets Game of Thrones in the apocalypse. And I'm really excited about this game. I just want more Year Zero. It kind of makes me sad knowing that I think this is the last like standalone game that they have planned for Mutant Year Zero. So in that way, I'm kind of sad, but I'm also very excited about Mutant Elysium from Free League Publishing. Number three.
My number three is actually a game that I've played quite a bit because, and this is not why it's my number three, I'm good friends with the designers, Tim and Kristen Devine. It is the North Sea Epilogues, which is being put out by Renegade Games. It ties in with the North Sea Saga board games from Renegade Games and Shimp and Garfield Games. I mean, this game, I really enjoy it. It uses a D20. That's the only dice you roll in it. But it's a really interesting system that Tim and Kristen have designed here. I had a lot of fun with it. Great Viking setting, which I mean, Vikings isn't something I'm terribly into. But this game, just the setting of it really captured me. It has just really opened to tell a lot of interesting stories with the way the mechanics are. So, and I've played the game a lot. So I can assure you that, you know, from my standpoint, it's a very good game. So can't wait to get the printed copy in my hands.
All right. So that's me with my three and four, which are sort of combined. My third and fourth are Deadlands and the new Deadlands Dark Ages. So they're going to be separate games, but they're tied together in terms of storyline. So they're kind of lumped together as three and four. With the new edition of Savage Worlds, which we'll talk about later on my list, they're getting new editions of Deadlands and a whole new game in Deadlands Dark Ages, which I am just beyond excited for. Both of those kind of coming together. Some of the games I've played the most in the term of Deadlands and the Dark Ages is an area of history I've studied intimately, so I'm just very excited for all of this.
Well, my number three is Alan's number two, so we're going to cut to number two and have Alan start out.
Okay, my number two is Savage World Adventure Edition, which just kickstarted, a $500,000 Kickstarter, brand new edition of Savage Worlds.
Oh, it's crazy.
And it
And they just released the PDF this week to backers, and it's awesome. It is. It moves the game in a narrative sense. It moves the game in a mechanical sense. It's everything I wanted it to be. I'm beyond stoked.
I know that there's a ton of folks out there that love Savage Worlds, and I haven't played Savage Worlds all that much, so I jumped in full head first on the Adventure Edition. So I'm really excited to see it. I will probably have a copy or two in my possession before 2019 is over.
All right, my number two is Zombie World from Magpie Games. Magpie Games is one of my favorite publishers, thanks to Doug himself. I got to sit with the team at Magpie at the Indies this year at Gen Con. It was a wonderful experience. Great group of people. So,
yeah, it's not because of me. It's because you do such great work, and that's why. And I know that you were a big fan. So it's all because you're promoting their game so well that I felt like you were the only person that should be sitting at their table with them at the Ennies this year. So I think it's mostly because of you, Ken.
Well, I do appreciate it. It was wonderful. It's such a great team there at Magpie. They're putting out Zombie World, which was designed mostly by Bernie Conway. And I just realized I'm talking in Doug's. I think it might appear. It was Doug's number seven, right?
It was my number seven. Yes, yeah. I'm really excited about Zombie World. Now this uses Powered by the Apocalypse mechanics as well, right, Ken?
It does, but with cards. So yeah. it is card based.
I like post apocalyptic games. I love zombie games just because it's a genre
I like zombies too. I experienced. I think I said this. Last year, I experienced Night of the Living Dead at a young, impressionable age and have just been just infatuated with zombies ever since.
I think the Zombie World is going to be it all comes in like this little box.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's going to be perfect for like conventions. I think you're just going to like throw it in your backpack, bring it to a convention, just sit down and start playing with, when you get some downtime. Maybe you just bring it to a game store and you start playing it, or you're just, I love the fact that they're kind of just putting everything that you need in this little box and it's all cards. And I think it's genius. I think it's a great, I love when RPG publishers do something different and still it just clicks. And I think this is going to be a big hit for Magpie Games.
I think the kind of RPG in a small box is probably something we'll see more of, because RPGs right now are something, you typically have to have books for and take them, or, the PDF on your tablet or phone or whatever. But I think this game you can take in a small box and be ready to play almost at any moment's notice. I think something we might see more of going forward.
And if you can correct me if I'm wrong, but it has like dry erase markers in it too, right? Yeah. So yeah, I love this whole idea, and I can't wait to see the final product. My number two is another game by Free League Publishing, because I love their stuff. And this is actually the follow-up to my number one game of 2017, Tales from the Loop. It's Things from the Flood.
My number seven.
Your number seven. I'm excited to see this game. This game actually did more funding on Kickstarter than Tales from the Loop. It had more backers. It just kind of shows you how much folks love Tales from the Loop. Things from the Flood, you play as teenagers. I think it takes place in the 90s. Is that correct?
Yep.
And it instead of like, Tales from the Loop is fun. You're playing as kids and you can't really die or anything because, who wants to play kids that can die? This definitely makes it a lot more dark. And there's a lot more death in this game because you're teenagers and you're, it's still kind of set in this Tales from the Loop setting just a little bit later on. And I'm really excited about it. It's got Simon Stalenhag art in it, which,
always a win.
Always a win. That guy's just phenomenal. He's one of my favorite.
Well, he did a bunch for Elysium, right?
Did he?
I think he did the cover and everything, yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yes, he did. He did do the cover for Elysium. Yeah. I'm sorry. And he also did Mechatron, and I think he does most of their covers anyway, but because I think him and Thomas are you know, they're friends on top of everything else, of, you know, and you know, and colleagues. But I'm excited for it. I can't wait to see more of this Tales from the Loop universe that he basically created just out of paintings.
Yeah.
Like, in his art. Like, that to me is pretty cool, to be able to make an RPG based on art that you created. Like,
I mean, I would pretty much just echo everything Doug said. So that's why I made my list a little higher up, so, or a little farther back. Whatever, you know.
And finally, number one.
All right, my number one is from just, I mean, one of my favorite people in the role-playing game. I have a lot of favorite people. This Epidai Revishaw is one of my favorite people in the role-playing games. I've had the privilege of talking with Epidai a few times and you know, becoming friendly with him. And he has a game which was supposed to hit Kickstarter this year, but it's been pushed back a little bit. It is Wolfspell. And Wolfspell is kind of like his game Stores Without Master, where at the beginning of it, you kind of roll between two tones, but you're rolling between, are you going to take this action in your human form or in your wolf form? That's not werewolf. It is actual, like, a wolf. So you have this whole game that kind of touches on Powered by the Apocalypse, but something that's really cool about this game, and it's just an idea that Epidai had, is he wants to make this game to where it is, the rules are printed on a trifold album, like record album. So the rule, so this game, the art and everything is going to mimic the style of like an old trifold LP cover.
Interesting.
So all going to be like that. So, I mean, you could even like use it as a GM screen, you know, put it out in front of you. All the rules are going to be on one side. You're going to have this huge just art piece on the back. I've played Swords Without Master. It's a wonderful game. So just more of that style of game where you're kind of wolf or man, human, you know, is just intriguing to me. And just the uniqueness of how this game is going to be produced and what it's going to look like on your shelf is just all that together with Epidai, who designed Dread, the role-playing game, Swords Without Master. It's a lot for me to be excited about. And I really am. So
in a rare series of events, both Alan and my number ones are the same. All right, Alan, I'm going to let you announce what our number ones are.
I'm doing a drum roll. You can't hear it, but I'm doing a drum roll. I'm not, because my fingers are in the air because I was pointing, but
I think I can insert a drum roll right here.
Well, then we should insert a drum roll, because the number one game for both Doug and I is the upcoming Dune role-playing game from Modiphius and Gale Force 9.
Yes, yes.
What?
I'm excited. I love the Dune universe. I read the books in high school. I love the movie. I love the miniseries. I love even the sci-fi mini, like both sci-fi miniseries I'll watch. My wife hates them, but I watch them anyway. I just think it's like sci-fi Game of Thrones. Like,
I am so excited. Oh, oh, he who controls the spice controls the universe.
Yes!
I am so there.
Muad'Dib.
I need one of you
to play a Fremen. Like, ah!
I'm not well versed in Dune, so I need one of you to take me on this journey with you to introduce me to this universe. It's not a
lifestyle alteration.
it's so
Dune good. Is one of the best science fiction properties you could ever play in RPG in.
It kind of makes me sad that there's not like more Dune content out there. I mean, I know that there's the books and his son went on to write even more books, but I wish that this property were even more popular than it is. Like, it needs to have like its own TV show. It needs to have like its own, you know, cinematic universe like that. Like, why hasn't somebody done that?
I think it's been pretty locked down by the Herbert family, right? For a while, the longest time.
Probably.
I mean, they had an RPG from Wizards of the Coast for a while, but it only saw like a couple hundred copies released before they just canceled it or something.
Yeah, I know. Coming from this board, I know there's a saga there. There was a big like Dune board game, and then like
in the 70s and 80s.
Yeah, people made other versions because they couldn't get the rights to it. You know, like
there was a Dune. There was a Dune card game in like the 90s.
There was. It was a CCG. Yeah.
Yeah. It was from Alderac, the same folks who did a L5R and stuff, wasn't it?
Nice. I don't know. I know.
I feel like it was Five Rings Publishing. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, Dune.
Yeah. I really hope.
If anybody from Modiphius is listening to this, you know, I will work for cheap.
if anybody from Modiphius is listening to this, please come on my show so you can plug Dune even more, because I would love to sit down. Even if it's just, you know, I've had Chris on the show before. Chris, if you're watching this, feel free to come on and when you're ready to launch this Dune RPG, I would love to just sit and talk to you about it. And I'd be glad to have Alan on with me as well.
I'll say, if anyone from Modiphius is listening, how are you doing? I hope you're having a great day. That's all.
And that's our number one. Doug and I are so excited for Dune. You can imagine the minute that it's on Kickstarter, we're going to be talking about it.
Oh, I can't wait to talk about it.
Well, one of you certainly have to run a game, and let me, you know, uninitiated person with Dune in on it.
Oh, obviously, we'll just make you the Muad'Dib. You won't know what's going on. It's perfect. Your role play will fit the universe.
There we go. Sounds amazing.
I can't wait. Like, Modiphius, just launch the Kickstarter already. Just let me. Oh no, maybe not now, because the holidays are coming up. But give my wallet a little bit of a break here.
March would be super great.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great. But yeah, it's definitely, when I saw that announcement this year, it was hard to not be hard to knock that from my number one most anticipated. Yeah. And there are some great RPGs that are announced already that will be releasing in 2020 that I'm already excited about as well. And I had a hard time. I don't want the Root RPG from Magpie Games.
Yes.
Like, come on. Like, I got to talk to Kyle, the artist from that game. Super, super nice guy. We got to talk for a little while about his influences, just in his art style. And I have not played the Root board game. I know it's really, really hot right now, but just the art alone makes me want to play an RPG in that world. Like, I'm excited for that. I think, and I said this on Vermont Public Radio earlier this year, when they asked me, like, what do you think some of the trends are for RPGs? And you're seeing this more and more since I said it. I think you're going to see a lot more board game IPs with RPGs tied to them play in that universe, in the board game world.
Well, I'm just waiting for the Scythe RPG. You know,
absolutely.
I think it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah, no, I think it would do really well. Of course, CMON announced that they're going to be doing Zombicide, which I think is going to come out in 2020 as well. I didn't put that on my list because I think it is going to be a 2020 release as well. But yeah, I think that that's going to be a trend. I think you're going to see more and more of these board game properties become RPGs, which is cool. I think that that's great. And it's another way to get board gamers hopefully into our hobby, which is great. All right, that's going to do it for our top 10 most anticipated RPGs of 2019. I want to thank Alan and Kent for joining me tonight. Kent, where can folks find Role to Play Podcast?
You can find us mostly on Thursdays if you subscribe to the podcast. We're on most podcatchers, on Apple Podcasts. You can find us pretty a lot of places. RoleToPlayPodcast.com to hit our landing page over at the Fanoff Network.
But yeah, new episodes every Thursday. Going into 2019, switching up the format just a little bit. Nothing too drastic, but I'm really excited about where we're going in 2019.
And Alan, where can folks find out more about Gallant Knight Games?
www.gallantnightgames.com, on Twitter at @GallantKGames or at Alan Barr. We have a Facebook page, Facebook group. We're everywhere. You can find us.
Nice. And if anybody else would like to know more about what we do here at Victory Condition Gaming, give us a like on Facebook. And you can also follow me on Instagram, Victory Condition Gaming, and on Twitter at @DougVCGaming. All right. This has been Victory Condition Gaming, because winning shouldn't be the only victory condition when you get to the table. We'll see you next time, folks. Bye now.